Heichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 53 in the series, entitled What is a Soul? Recorded live at Heichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 24th of Kislev, 5759.
Morning, Perek Yutes, the 19th chapter. All the taste was biur to further elucidate and explain the concept discussed in the previous chapter 18 concerning the embedded intrinsic bond, love, and connection between Hashem and the Jew. Tzarech levayir heitiv. It is necessary to clarify well Mashakas of the meaning of the pasuk, Neid Hashem Nishmas Adam. The soul of man is a candle of Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Mishle, in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, Neid Hashem Nishmas Adam Chayfes Kol Chadrei Vatan, which means, as mentioned, that the soul of man is a candle of Hashem, which searches the chambers of one's innard. What is the meaning of this pasuk? So there are various interpretations, as in every pasuk. Now, the Rebbe mentioned in Perek Aleph in the Haggah, Shivim Panim L'Teira, from Chazal, from Gemara, Medrash, that every aspect of Teira has 70 interpretations. I mentioned then what the Arizal says, that every aspect of Teira has 600,000 interpretations, corresponding to the 600,000 souls of Israel. Every soul has an interpretation that accommodates her, because no two psyches are identical, as we know, among any types of people, especially Jews. So Mela, every Jew has to have his own, every soul needs its own pirush. So Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam is a pasuk. It has many interpretations. We won't discuss here today 600,000 interpretations, nor 70 interpretations, even if we want to. I simply do not know them. But there's a few interesting interpretations. The basic meaning of the pasuk given in Rashi, in Mitzudas, Rabbeinu Yoina, and so forth, other Mefarshim, is Neid Hashem Nishmas Adam. Hashem's candle is the soul of man. Hashem uses the soul of man as a candle, through which he searches man's innards. In other words, there is an element in man which is aware of everything that is going on in him or her, an element, as they put it, which testifies ultimately about the nature, the conduct, and behavior of man. So what is the candle Hashem uses to make his way clear in, so to speak, darkness, is the soul of man. The Ralbag goes, I think, a step deeper. The Ralbag interprets the pasuk Neid Hashem Nishmas Adam. Hashem gives man the soul, his soul, which allows him, which Hashem gives the man, the, gives man his soul, which is a tool for man to discover truth in existence. Not that the soul is Hashem's candle through which he knows what's going on in man, man uses his neshama as a candle to which illuminate his life, his reality. As the Ralbach says, it's only through the neshama through which man can discern and learn about the truths of existence. Learn what is really going on in life, in reality, in the world, and so forth. Leida kol hanimtzayis, as he puts it, to know all of existence. That is through the neshama. Here, the Alter Rebbe gives us the chassidus interpretation of the pasuk. And like in any other interpretation of chassidus, here again, I think, in a very conspicuous way, we can see the contribution of chassidus to the totality of Yiddishkeit, or specifically the energy that chassidus imbued in Yiddishkeit. How does the Alter Rebbe interpret the pasuk? Pirush, this means she Yisrael hakruyim adam. The souls of the Jewish people who are called Adam, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos daf samach aleph, atem kruyim adam, the name Adam is the term defining Am Yisrael, every single Jew. So neir Hashem nishmas Adam. The soul of Adam, the soul of the Jew, Yisrael hakruyim adam nishmasam hi lemashul ka'ir haneir. If you want to put your finger, define and articulate what is the soul of the Jew, who is this Nishmas Adam, what is its identity, what is its nature, its character, the best, most adequate definition and metaphor for it is Eir HaNeir, the flame of a candle. Shemisnaneya tamid l'mayla b'tivay, whose nature it is always to flicker upwards. Misnaneya tamid. The flame of a candle is never content, never remains in one place, one location. It's always flickering, licking the air, soaring upwards. That's the natural character nature of fire. And Alter Rebbe explains the reason. And for explaining the reason, he uses the model, a scientific model that has been articulated through the Rambam and some great scholars of those generations. Mipnei sha'ir ha'esh chafetz b'teva liparid ma'apsuk. For the flame of the fire, intrinsically, naturally, seeks to part from the wick that holds it. V'lidavek b'shar she'lamayla, and to unite with its source above, in the universal element of fire, which is in the sublunar sphere, as is explained in Eitz Chaim. Although thereby, by parting from the wick and becoming part of its source, it would be extinguished. The flame would cease to exist. It would emit no light at all. Here below, v'gam l'mayla b'sharsh, also above in its source, yizbatel oirei b'metzias b'sharshay, its identity would be lost within that all-powerful identity of its source. So here, down here, it will be extinguished. It will not appear, it will not project its light and so forth. Up there in its source where it has returned to according, if its desire would be fulfilled, if its natural desire would be fulfilled, it would also become null and naught, it would lose its identity within the identity of its source. Afal pikein, notwithstanding this truth, bekachu chafetz b'tivay. This is what it desires by nature. Of course, the term desire should be understood here in context of a flame. We're not dealing with a human being or an animal who has a consciousness. But naturally, that is what it gravitates to, that is what defines it, that is its nature. Says Shlomo HaMelech, you want to understand the neshama of a person? Neir Hashem. Kach nishmas ha'adam. Same is true concerning the neshama of the Adam of the Jew. And Alter Rebbe parenthetically adds, v'chein b'chinas ruach v'nefesh, And this is also true of the levels Ruach and Nefesh, although this pasuk specifies Nishmas Adam, but as mentioned several times, in the spiritual consciousness itself is subdivided into three general categories, Nefesh, Ruach, and Hashem. So this characteristic is something that's shared identical by the Neshama, Nefesh, and Ruach. So concerning the Nishmas HaAdam, Chafetz of a Chasheka B'tiva, the soul naturally desires and yearns, Liparet V'lotzeis Min HaGuf, to separate itself and depart from the body, and to unite with it, with the Neshama's origin and source, Bahashem Chaye Hachayim Baruch Hu, in Hashem, in God, who is the fountainhead of all life, who is the life of life, blessed be He, Baruch Hu. Hagam Shetiya Ayin Ve'efes, although thereby the Neshama would become null and naught, but this battle sham b'metzius legamri, and its identity would there in its source be in chaye hachayim, in the life of life. Its identity would be this battle sham b'metzius legamri, completely nullified. V'lo yishayir mi v'lo yishayir mi mena mo'uma mi mohusavatz mosarishayim, with nothing at all remaining of its original essence and self. Its original identity, reality, self, will be totally nullified, abnegated, null and naught. Its original essence will not be existing anymore there. Afal pikein, nevertheless, despite this truth, zeret sein v'cheftza b'tiv. This is its will and its desire by nature. So the Alter Rebbe says, you have taka, a very good taina. You have very powerful, rational criticism on this desire. The end of identity, the end of self. Nevertheless, the Alter Rebbe says, this is her nature. This is what she wants. And he explains, the teva, when we use the term nature, nature is a term that's used very, very often. What does it mean, nature? Yeah. Nature. V'teva, nature. Zehu sheim hamushal l'chol davar she'eni b'b'chinas tam v'das. Is an applied, it's a borrowed term for anything that is not in the realm of reason and comprehension. And this again can be below comprehension or above comprehension. Nature, throughout the generation, seems to have been a very opaque and ambiguous term. Usually, when something cannot be explained by means of the cognitive faculties that one comprehends, we blame it on nature. Nature is the ultimate excuse that justifies everything. You ask, why does the world function in this way? Why do atoms function in that way? Why do chemicals function in this way? Whatever phenomenon it may be, that's the nature. That's the nature. We can probe the wisdom that defines nature. In other words, we can discuss the rules which govern nature. But what is the source? What is the reason for these rules themselves? Nature, teva. So teva, the Alter Rebbe says, is an applied term for whatever is not in the realm of intellect. Whatever that may be. If that may be a positive phenomenon, or a negative phenomenon, or a neutral phenomenon, whatever that is. But that's how he defines teva. The gam kan hakavana. Here too, when we talk about the soul's desire to unite with its source, or when we talk about the desire of a flame to unite with its source, and he keeps on using the word teva. Misnaneya tamid l'mayla b'tiva, b'kachu chafetz b'tiva, chafetz v'chasheka b'tiva, zeret zayna v'cheftza b'tiva. The meaning here is Sheratzen v'chefet zebenefesh. The will and this particular will and desire in the soul. Einay bebchinis tam v'daz v'seichel musagumuvon is not based on reason, knowledge, intelligence that can be understood and comprehended. Ella, rather, it's l'mayla me'adaz v'seichel ha'musig v'amuvan. It's beyond the grasp and the comprehension of rational intelligence. V'hi, this dynamic of the soul, is b'chinas chachma shebenefesh. It's the soul's energy of chachma sheba eirin sof baruch. Wherein the light of Hashem, of the Blessed Endless One, abides. Is the Alter Rebbe pointing out essentially that this is an abnormality, it's a paradox, because this type of consciousness is not to be found in normal physical or even spiritual properties, this desire to nullify themselves? That's what you're asking? Yes, indeed, and I'll explain in a moment what Dr. Leb is telling us here. But that's correct, precisely. You put it very well, actually. We watch a flame. Soon we're going to be lighting the Hanukkah candles. And in the evening we'll watch the flames of the Hanukkah candles, or any flame. And it's always flickering, licking the ear, as if it's rising towards something. Never content. It's the only element in the world, Alter Rebbe says, which is misnaneya tamid l'mayla b'tivei. To be sure, liquid also doesn't remain in one place. It's not solid, but nevertheless you can contain it. You take water, or orange juice, or grapefruit juice, you place it in a cup and it's contained. Place fire in a cup, what's going to happen? It can't be contained. Wherever it is, even if there are no walls around it, the wick is containing it apparently. The fire is constantly moving, constantly flickering, constantly swaying, and so forth. The Alter Rebbe explains here the reason for this, as mentioned, using the model the Rambam gives us. He quotes it from the Eitz Chaim, which basically is as follows. The Rambam explains in Hilchos Hasedi HaTorah, Perek Gimel and Perek Daled, are Tisha Galgalim, nine planets. The Rambam says immediately under the Galgal Hayareach Yisayid HaEish, under that Yisayid HaRuach, under that Yisayid HaMayim, and finally below that is Yisayid HaAfer. It says in Eitz Chaim, in Shar Membeis, Shar Drushei Abyander, Rabbeinu Bechaya also says it in Bereishis, in the second Pasuk, in Bereishis Aleph Beis, but the Alter Rebbe quotes it from Eitz Chaim, that this is the reason for the fire never being content, because it always wants to depart from its wick. Why does it want to depart? It wants to return to its source. What's its source? The original element of fire, which is Tachas Galgal HaYareach, which is in the sublunar sphere. It's sublunar. So therefore, wherever the fire will be existing, even if you have a flame containing it, the fire is not, never perfectly comfortable and satisfied with its position, which is with its present position. It wants to return to its original source. This is the model the Alter Rebbe uses. Whichever model one, however, uses, that's not the crucial, decisive issue here. The fact remains the same. Here we have something in our physical universe which is never comfortable in its position. Never comfortable. It's always discontent. Whatever you do, you can place 100 wicks there and give it a comfortable environment where no one is threatening its existence. No water and so forth. It has air, everything. And nevertheless, the fire is moving. It's soaring. It's not content.
But what keeps the flame of him going back, going back
the wick? The what keeps the flame of going back to the source? The wick.
That's the Torah
in the Mitzvah, though. He says, "Chafetz b'tevel liparit mapsili." He wants to. The wick is just holding him back.
What is the wick? The
wick is the oh, you mean in the human? What's the metaphor for the wick? The body.
The body.
The soul is the flame, and the wick is the body. So the Alter Rebbe says, the flame is a metaphor, is an it gives us a glimpse into the nature of our own souls. What would you define as the essence of the energy which defines every existing reality on its most basic level? Its quest for existence. Its quest to preserve itself.
That
You're asking that it's not necessarily the drive for existence, it's sometimes the drive for pleasure. Exactly, they define their existence based on pleasure. It's another manifestation of self-realization. One second! That's the natural nature of all existence. This is true about human beings, no question, but it's true about everything. We seek to become better. We seek to enhance the self, to enhance the identity. Does anyone disagree with this? That's what we seek, everyone. I seek it, I guess you seek it. Observe an animal. What's its greatest threat, its greatest fear? Extinction. Nullification. Hashem embedded within it all the instincts it needs to survive, and it avoids any situation, any position with what threatens it. Threatens its health, threatens its longevity, threatens its nourishment, threatens its family, which is an extension of self and so forth. This, just as it's true about animals, it's even true about phenomena, about realities which don't have a soul in the normal sense of the world. Whether it's vegetation, whether it's minerals and so forth. Over here you can't call it a consciousness or a conscious quest and so forth, but it's naturally part of it. The chemistry that defines everything is that at the deepest level of self, it was given the tools and instrument to preserve itself, and that's what it's all about. And we can't complain about it. This is how it should be, because the I, on the most basic level, what does it want? It wants I. A reality wants. Its reality should be perpetuated. Now again, people vary in this issue. What they define as existence, what they define as identity. For what one person is identity, is for other person shmatas. But that is a difference in form and expression and character. No small difference, of course. But nevertheless, at the core of existence is the quest for self-enhancement, self-preservation, self-fulfillment, self-gratification. An identity wants its identity. That's it. Comes the Alter Rebbe and says that he has found in our universe only one thing which is an exception. It's a fascinating exception, a flame. A flame, he says, constantly seeking to depart from its wick. It's constantly flickering, swaying, swinging and moving. Seeking to depart from what is containing it. Although this departure equals its nullification, its obliteration. If it does depart from its wick, what happens to this flame? It's extinguished down here. Lest you think, okay, it's extinguished down here, but it's elevating itself to a higher form of identity. A person can give up drinking, can give up going to the bar every night in order to get good training in medical school. So it's giving up one type of identity for a higher level of identity. So the fire is giving up its identity here below for a deeper level of identity. He says no. In its source it will also be nullified. V'gam yizbatel, v'gam l'mayla b'sharsha yizbatel. In its source its identity will be lost within that of its source. Once it comes back to the source, dafmanishinish, you're insignificant, you're valueless. You want to know what a Yid is? Neid Hashem Rishmasadim. That's what a Yid is. It says, here we have the quintessential feature, if you may call it feature, that defines the soul of a Jew. It's driven by a desire not to be, but to be not. Everything wants to be, and the soul wants to be not. The soul searches. It yearns to seize. It's the only reality in the world which is not seeking an enhancement of self, perpetuating the self. Rather, it seeks emes. It seeks chayei hachayim baruch hu. It wants the life of life, although it knows very well that as long as it's in a body, as long even as it's in another body or in spiritual realms and so forth, it has an identity, it has a personality, it has a character. a spiritual personality, a noble personality, a regal, royal identity, and so forth. It has an identity. If it returns back to its source, to Hashem, in Hashem's all-embracing, all-powerful, all-pervading reality, the soul will be null, naught, ayin v'efes. She will be totally nullified. Nothing from her first identity will remain. It's not a metamorphosis from a lower form to a higher form. It's a metamorphosis where nothing remains of the original identity. Nevertheless, this is intrinsically her nature.
It's not so different from the other system, it's just
that
it's more
edel
and more
finer,
truly
refined. So Al-Tareba says this we call Teva. Why Teva? Teva is an applied term for something that's not created or dictated by intelligence. And he uses, interestingly, five terms. He says, this will and the soul, Einu v'b'chinas tam v'daz v'seichel musig u'muvan. He wasn't just throwing out words. The soul has five levels. The Medrash says, Chamisha Shemis Nikrilo, the soul has five names. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. Generally, we talk about three categories in Tanya. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. More specifically, there are five categories. Nefesh is a biological consciousness. Ruach is an passionate consciousness. Neshama, cognitive consciousness. Chaya, it's convictions that go beyond rationale. And Yechida means oneness. So the Alter Rebbe says this desire is Einei b'pchinas tam Yechida v'das chaya v'seichel nesham musig ruach and move on. This is the hint that he's alluding to here. No, Einei b'pchinas tam v'das v'seichel musig and move on. Ella l'mayla. Only four. Mehadas v'seichel amusig amuvan. Over here, he doesn't say tam anymore, because yechida is that level of the soul which is an abode for this energy. But this energy essentially transcends yechida also. So he negates yechida, but then the second time, when he talks in the positive sense, he doesn't put in the fifth term. It's just amazing the meticulousness of every word, the precision of every single word in Tanya. This is explained in Latter Maimon, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, in Asicha, 1942, it explains this. Why doesn't he repeat it? Because ultimately the fifth level is a vessel and a receptacle for the quintessential energy that transcends even yechida. Which is Chachmah Shabbanafish in these. Yes, he starts with that because he wants to negate that it's not even that. But ultimately, when he defines what it is positively, that is an abode for it. In Kabbalistic terms, it says that the nitzutz of Yechida, the spark of Yechida, is the vessel for the spark of Creator which exists in man. But let's not get into the details here. This is an independent discussion. We can talk about this afterwards. This is a separate issue. So the Rebbe says this Teva is not defined by Seichel.
There's only two selves. There's the ultimate self which is not here. It's rooted in him.
Okay. What if someone realizes that true ego is not to have ego? That's a good question. That's the point.
Seichel can't realize that it doesn't even exist.
Whatever Seichel realizes, Seichel is also I. Seichel has an I. Man's rationale can cause him and impact him and influence him or her to do many things, to engage in many behaviors, many activities. But ultimately, all the activities will be something that will perpetuate his or her identity. Will elevate that identity, will elevate it drastically to drastically a different form. But that his own seichel should dictate him to relinquish his identity absolutely and unequivocally, this even Seichel will not do. Ah, you could say, what if Seichel understands that this is truth? Seichel understands it. But Seichel is identity. So Seichel will say, go, 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 go. Aber egen sollst du sein. You should be there somewhere. Somewhere. A noble self, a spiritual self. That sometimes may even mean real self-sacrifice for a different self, for a higher self. Self-sacrifice of physicality for spirituality. Self-sacrifice of financial issues for morality and so forth. But somewhere, the I should exist. Somewhere. In the olden days in Russia. No, I'm saying in the olden days in Russia, there were a group of Russian peasants who lived in this little town in Russia. 19th century. Rumor had it that a new invention was introduced to our world. Instead of schlepping people and getting them from one place to another place through horse and buggies, they invented these cars, which they called trains, and these travel extremely swiftly and go through an entire country, cities, in a swift manner and so forth. And the biggest wonder is they say that it's without a horse. There's no horse involved. So the Chachmei Chelem, the peasants, came together discussing this extraordinary phenomena. And they, of course, came to the conclusion that it's impossible. You cannot have a train that goes without a horse. Somewhere there must be a horse. Elamai, it's most probably Jews. Probably fake frauds and phonies who are deceiving the entire world. And we will go uncover what's going on. When they heard that the train is coming nearby their place in the nearby large city, they decided they're going to come, not at dawn when everyone is going to come, they're going to come already 1 a.m. And for a few hours they're going to check and scrutinize every aspect, every dynamic, and they're going to uncover the horse. So there were 8 of them. They came to the new train. They were amazed. They immediately dispersed. The one who was in charge gave everyone his or his job, and they began searching for the horse. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours pass. They come back. There's no horse. He says, you have to look more. It's probably not a large one. It's a small one. It's a little one, but something. They begin searching and searching. They can't find. So they came back. They assembled again. And they came to the conclusion, and they transcribed that this was their conclusion. They said that these Jews, these deceivers, are so wise. They created this little tiny horse that's invisible. Stehst. Afeld muzain. A horse there must be. Sometimes it's large, sometimes it's invisible. One of my Tanya teachers liked putting this message of this parak in Yiddish. The zich of the neshama on the deepest level is nishzich. The eye of the neshama on the deepest level is eyeless. Is not eye. In other words, what's a neshama? That there is something in it which transcends identity. That's what a neshama is. This comes from the space in the soul. In that space, over there is God. Over there rests, is expressed, is revealed, is projected the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Chachman. Chachman is godliness. And that's why the neshama gravitates to Hashem. Transcendence, godliness is embedded. Shabbat in Sof Baruch Hu. There's a place in the soul where it doesn't exist, where it has a vacuum, as we discussed in previous weeks at length. And therefore, over there dwells godliness, and this is its true identity. In other words, at the deepest level of the soul's identity, it's identityless.
So saying it is completely different from
the Shaykh, the Klal b'chol sitra d'gdusha. This is a general principle in the whole realm of holiness. That holiness, kedusha, is only that which stems, which is derived from Chachma. Shenikras Kodesh Alyin. Chachma is defined as Kodesh Alyin, supernal holiness. So the term Kodesh is synonymous with the concept and reality of Chachma. So Kedusha, holiness, which comes from Kodesh, everything which is a projection, a continuum, an expression, and an extension of Kodesh, is only that which comes from the realm of Chachma.
This means that more involvement from someone is in the Kodesh himself, that he's not...
Habatul b'mitziyiz be'elin seif baruchu hamalu b'shbay, which Chachma, its very existence, is nullified in the energy of the Ein Sof, which is enclosed within it, within Chachma, the Ein Neidavar b'fnei atzmei kanal, and it's not an independent reality. It's not a thing apart, as explained earlier in Perek Vav. Alter Rebbe is adding, not just concerning the soul of the Jew do we say that what is the place, which dimension of the soul is connected with godliness directly, is the Chachma Shebenefesh. So he continues and he adds that this is a general principle in the realm of holiness generally, that Kedusha is only that, Kedusha is exclusively that which is either Chachma itself or comes from Chachma. And that is the fact, the idea. He says that Chachma is called Kodesh Elyon. In all Kabbalistic works, beginning with the Zohar and all of the many of the subsequent writings of Kabbalah, the Zohar and the writings of the Arizal and so forth, the term Kodesh is synonymous with the concept of Chachma. There's a Sefer Ma'ari Eir. It's a basic encyclopedic work on Kabbalah. It's authored by Reb Meir Papirash, who was a student of Reb Chaim Vital, the chief pupil and transcriber of Arizal's Kabbalah. So this is a type of encyclopedia for Kabbalah from the Zohar and the writings of the Arizal. Reb Meir Papirash passed away in the year Tafchav Beis. So in Ma'ir Yair, in the Erech, so in the Erech of Kodesh, he says, V'chal Kodesh u'b'chachma. This is a principle in Kabbalah and in Chassidus, that every time we say the term Kodesh, it's connected to the realm of Chachma. So the Alter Rebbe explains that Kedusha is only that which comes as connected to Chachma. What is Chachma? That which its very existence is nullified in the Eir and Sof, in the energy of Hashem, which is enclosed in Chachma, and it's not a Davar b'fnei atzma. It's not an independent reality. And that is the reason that this faculty in the human being and this faculty in general is called Chachma, which constitutes the two words Koyachma. What does Koyachma mean? What does Ma? Koyach is the energy, the power, the faculty. What is Ma? What? What is the deeper meaning when we say what? So, for example, there's an expression, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden, V'nachnu ma kisalinu alof. What are we? Referring to him and Aaron, his brother. What are we that you are rebelling against us, that you are criticizing and attacking us? What is the question, what are we? We are nothing. We are not attempting to assert our authority and dominate you people. We are merely messengers. Pure shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Chachma? Koyachma. It's the power in the human being to introduce nothingness into his life. It's the power, the energy of nothingness. Not nothingness in the negative sense of becoming insignificant, valueless, but nothingness that transcends somethingness. There is a nothingness that is inferior to somethingness. And then there is a nothingness that it's beyond something, and the parameters of the thing cannot experience that which can only be experienced and related to via the space in the human being's identity and life, which allows him to open himself up for a higher reality that initially and essentially transcends his own parameters. As discussed at length in our classes on chapter 18, the idea of Chachma. So Koyachma is that vessel that part of the human being which allows him to become a ma, and thus to experience absolute reality transcending him. V'hu heipach mamish mipchinas haklipe v'sitrachera. This kedusha, which comes from chachma, stands in direct contrast to the realm of klipa and sitrachera, to the realm of the shell on the other side. From which are derived the souls of the nations of the universe, the avdin ligar mayu, who act as a result of their desire for self-fulfillment and self-gratification, va'amrin saying, have, have, give, give, va'haliteini, and feed me, li'es yesh, v'davar b'fneyatzme kanal, in order to be independent beings and entities, kanal as mentioned earlier, heipach b'chinas ha-chachma, which is in direct contrast and opposition to the realm of chachma. Kedusha, the Alter Rebbe says, is synonymous with chachma. Holiness equals chachma. What is holiness? It's a term that's often used. Kedusha, kedusha. What is kedusha? So here he defines Kedusha. And the principle, the axiomatic principle the Alter Rebbe sets forth is one issue. If there is ego, you know that there's no Kedusha. Kedusha begins where the ego ceases to exist. Because Kedusha essentially means that which is a continuum, which is a projection, a revelation, an extension of the divine reality. Kedusha, as he defined it in chapter 6, which he makes mention to Kanal, is that which is a hamshacha mikdushas shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that which expresses, which is connected to the holiness of the sanctity of Hashem. Ve'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheir el al davar shebatel atzli yizbaruch. Now essentially, the ego of the human being is the greatest opposition and contradiction to allowing the revelation of Elikus. Because as he mentioned the Perek Yudches, the nature of godliness is such that leis machshava tfisa beklal, that as long as I assert my I, that I doesn't give room for divine energy which transcends any type of I. So the I is not a vessel for divine energy, the I is the enemy. The I doesn't allow us to be in tune with the Elikus of reality and in ourselves. Kedusha is that which is Gilui of Hashem, which is the revelation of Hashem. So therefore, Kedusha is either Chachma, or anything that stems, that is a continuum of the dimension of Chachma, and that's why Chachma is called Kedusha Alya. Because Chachma is that element of the human being. Chachma is that space through which the human soul connects with divine energy. Chachma is that space where the human being can experience suspension of ego and self-nullification, and therefore that is where the realm of Kedusha begins. Kayachma. In contrast to this, says the Alter Rebbe, stands Klippa and Sitra Achira. Klippa and Sitra Achira, the shells and the other sides that are concealing and obscuring the divine energy, they are connected to that which is an exact opposite to Chachma. The whole idea of Chachma is the recognition of the human humbleness. That which stands in contrast of Chachma, its whole identity is defined by self-assertion, by self-preservation, by the ego. And Alter Rebbe here makes again the distinctions. He emphasizes that this is the difference essentially between the soul of the Jew and the soul of the non-Jew.
Mashiach came by the guy, not because they don't have this reservoir of the Torah. They don't have this this transform, this koyach of the Torah, the Kedusha and Chachma.
There is another aspect. It's not negeya here. I mentioned this in the conclusion of chapter 1. The Alter Rebbe says that the nefesh habahamis of a yid comes from klipas noiga. Even the nefesh habahamis of Umas Olam comes from shalosh satmeis. And he mentions that's the reason why even the nefesh habahamis of a Jew intrinsically experiences certain positive middos, like rachmanas and gmilas chasad. Because klipas noiga has in it a glimmer of godliness, an aspect of toiv. So we mentioned then what Alter Rebbe writes in his Siddur in Shachar Chagamatzis, that Chesidiyu Masayilim, their Nefesh HaBahamis also comes from Klipas Noiga. Chesidiyu Masayilim, which are the pious among the Gentiles, so their Neshama also comes from Klipas Noiga, and therefore, there is also the ability to experience Rachmanas and Gmilus Chasadim, not only based on ulterior motives. So you asked last week a question. So what is Yiddishkeit about? Nullification of identity, ultimately? Is that the message of this Perek in Tanya? Nei Hashem Nishmas Adam. Where does Neshama begin? Where does Chachma Shebenefesh begin? Where I cease to exist. So is that, in fact, the message? Okay, it's a redefinition of our identity, but should the Jew live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in this realm of experience? Let's take it in the intellectual issues we spoke about in Perek Yitches. If we only have Chachma, we don't have Bina, what remains of us? We might be all day conceiving new, powerful, amazing ideas, but if there's no Bina, it never becomes connected to you. It's like you suspended yourself, so you don't exist. Fine. So something else can overtake you, can enter into your being, can enter into your space. Bina is important to take Chachma and bring it down. Internalize it, integrate it. So that's what Alter Rebbe is saying here also. Kedusha doesn't begin with Chachma and end with Chachma. It begins with Chachma and it ends with Masha Nimshach Mechachma. Before Perek Yitches himself, the Alter Rebbe spoke about another Ava, an Ava which comes from Bina, not from Chachma. Derech Harucha, as spoken in the beginning of Yitches, is Derech Harucha, is Derech Tzar. Derech Harucha is an inspiration towards godliness which is created by Bina, which is created by meditation, by contemplation. Not by necessarily or only relying on the infinite reservoir of love that exists inherently in the soul of the Jew. Is that Klipa? Is identity klipa essentially? Zogt Alter Rebbe, if the identity is based and is a continuum of Chachma, then that's Kedusha. If the human beings, whole Avedas Hashem begins with the eye and ends with the eye, he didn't begin to scratch the surface of divine energy. Connecting with divine energy begins only when you make a space in your life. So the Jew could be involved in many beautiful, extraordinary, and holy things. But he has to realize, Alter Rebbe is not saying stop that. You have to realize that Kedusha experience only begins when there's Bittul, when there's Koyach Ma. So the human being has to be involved in identity. In fact, as mentioned, Til Perek Yitches, Alter Rebbe advocates that type of Ava. But the foundation is Chachma. The Bina is not an independent reality, it's a Bina that follows the energy of Chachma. As he mentioned already in the conclusion of chapter 1, the Avdim Legamayim. Abgepaskent. Therefore, those of the realm of Klipa, are described as Mesim, as that which is the antithetical of life, because as the Pasuk puts it in Kehelas, Perek Zayin, Chachma gives life. Uksiv, and it says, and Iyev, it says, in Perek Dalet, Yamusu v'loi b'chachma. They die without wisdom. So the literal interpretation of the Pasuk, Iyev, is describing the tragic fate of those human beings who die without Chachma. The Alter Rebbe presents the deeper interpretation that the Yamusu comes from the fact that there is loi b'chachma. Because Chachma is what gives life. If the human being defines himself as a Dover Bifnei Atzmai, he's not connected with the flow of life in the universe and in humanity. He just doesn't get it. If a human being doesn't have Chachma, he's self-conscious, he sees himself as the center of everything, he can never be in tune with the rhythm of life. With a rhythm of energy, of divine energy that's constantly flowing. It's only in Bittul, it's only in the suspension of the ego, it's only in the lack of self-consciousness that man lives. Life means experiencing life. And experiencing life, if you're the center, you're not in touch with life. A very self-conscious person is extremely cautious about where he or she is at every moment, and that is the greatest hindrance of being in touch with life, of being in the swing of things. Because you're always The environment is always your enemy. Wherever you are, you have an enemy. You imagine? Huh? Sometimes a person walks into a room, it's a full room, something is going on, comes late, and is extremely self-conscious. He walks in, he's concerned how this person is viewing him, this person is viewing him, if he's doing the right thing, if he's walking the right way. It's the greatest hindrance to get involved in life. So the Alter Rebbe says, life begins only with Chachma. On a deeper level, life is connected with divine energy, because the source of life is divinity. As long as the human being is defined by his ego, there's no chayis. Chayim comes from Hashem. So Yamusu comes from Loi B'Chachma. In order to be Techaya, there has to be V'Chachma Techaya.